We have been talking the last several weeks about the highway to hell. I'd ask you guys to turn to Jude. We'll be reading out of Jude. That is the last epistle before Revelation. Jude is a very short book, but Jude has a lot to say about our days. Amen? The highway to hell is, this is part four of five parts we have dealt with. And I really want to clarify, this is not about us, okay? Paul said that we were some of these, but because of Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from these things. And we dealt with suicide. Some of us have been dealing with the spirit of suicide. We have been set free from that in Jesus Christ. That is a vanquished enemy. Some of us have been dealt with not doing what God has required of us in dealing with our sin issues. We don't want to change, and so we ignore what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, which is not too cool. And then we dealt last week about our pride issues and how the world is on a highway to hell in these areas to take everybody. Everyone is duped into thinking that they're okay, that this world is not going to end. And that, you know what? In some cases, they don't even believe in hell. And to be sad and truthful with you, the Church of Jesus Christ is not emphasizing about hell. Jesus spoke about this very much so to the believers at that time. And we as believers need to hear about it and see that this is a real place that people are going to go. They consign themselves to go there. It is our job to get them off the highway of hell and bring them into a saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and begin to walk in this love relationship and have their lives transformed. Amen? Amen. Jude. Today's title is The Sexual Immoral. Jude 5 through 7. This is Jude speaking, and he says, I must remind you, and you know it well, that even though the Lord rescued the whole nation of Israel from Egypt, he later destroyed every one of those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within their limits of authority that God had given to them, but they left their place where they had belonged. God has kept them in chains and prisons of darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. And don't forget about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with sexual immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and are a warning of the eternal fire that will punish all those who are evil. Verses 5 through 7. Jude is reminding the Church of Jesus Christ, giving examples to us that, you know, if you come from a persuasion of once saved, always saved, I challenge you to think about what Jude is just saying here. If you come from a persuasion or a belief system of greasy grace, I challenge you to look at what Jude is saying. Jude is telling us and giving us three examples for us. All Scripture is given for our example to educate us and to teach us what God is going to do and what He has done. And we need to pay attention to the severity of what the Word of God is saying. There are people who think it's okay to live in fornication, adultery, and every other kind of sexual perversion and think that they're fine. And it is the furthest thing from the truth. They are not fine. They are sick. They are filled with sin, a disease from the fall. And we can see it today. We can see how far we, the people of God, I'm not even concerned about the world right now, but we as the people of God have become anesthetized to the real facts of the matter that, you know what, we're buying into their lies. How can I say that? Well, where is the Church of Jesus Christ in standing up against the aggressive onslaught of the homosexual community? It's non-existent. It's not saying anything. Where is the Church of Jesus Christ about the abortion issues? Where is the Church of Jesus Christ about the impoverished? Where is the Church of Jesus Christ? I mean, we have organizations that are doing good things and helping people to become saved and delivered from their sin issues. But where's the body of Jesus Christ is the question. And Jude points out to us that, you know, even Israel, when Israel was taken out of Egypt, and that great, awesome Passover that was happening, and there was a great deliverance that came out of that, every person was made whole. There was no sickness, there was no disease. And you could check it out in Exodus and see if I'm telling you the truth. It says there was none infirmed amongst them. There was none crippled. There was none that had any kind of thing wrong with them. It was kind of like God wiped the slate clean. Everyone started out in full health and their conditions were okay. God was showing that His people are different than the world. But it also says that Jude said that because of their unbelief and their idolatry and their sexual perversions that they were involved in, that God destroyed them in the desert. They did not enter into the promised land. Right? And so I want to caution God's people and make them understand that, you know what, your position is only as safe as your position in Jesus Christ. And any unrepented sin, you're on the highway of hell too. We have to understand that repentance is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time exercise and then we're fine and we continue to live our lives as though it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because the light of Jesus Christ that's within us must shine forth and show people that we are different. There is something different. We're not accusatory to anybody, but we have to show them that we're different. God has changed my life. And He's changed yours and is in the process of continuing to change. That's called sanctification. And it'll be lifelong. You will be changing all the time until the Lord comes. Or at least you should be. And if you're not changing, it's real easy. Repent, get it under the blood, and do what the Lord tells you to do. It's all that simple. And we've gone through the kingdom series. You are kings and priests of the kingdom. You need to conduct yourself as such. And there's a regality about that, you know what? We no longer are to mess around with the mundane and perverted things of the world. And that was Israel's problem. Israel came out of Egypt, but Egypt was not taken out of Israel. And there's this exchange that has to be made. We're exchanging a life filled with sin and all and taking on the life of Jesus Christ. And it has to change us on the inside and be manifested on the outside. Amen? And we look at the angels. And what about the angels? You may say, you know, yeah, there's angels, you know, and they had war against God. He wanted to take over the kingdom of God in heaven and all, and Satan led this rebellion. But do you not know that the angels left their position and they had sexual intercourse with women? That's what the Bible says. That's where the Naphtalim came from. The giants, of which Goliath was one of them. Giants, people 9-10 feet tall, powerful people. They came because angels left their estate and had relations with the daughters of men. And God was bent out of shape. You see, there is a natural order that God has set forth for the people of God. And there's a natural order that God has set in even from the beginning before man caused the fall and corrupted the world. And these angels came down and they left their position. They remember we said about like kind produces after like kind? But we're seeing that there is a perversion. Heavenly celestial beings coming down and having relationships with women, creating giants. Some of these giants were so grotesque in figure that we gave them different names, like Cyclops. Here's a guy who was 12 foot tall and had one eye. It's a real person that came from this. And today, man is doing the same thing. We're gene splicing. We're trying to create and duplicate life in such a way that, you know what? We are creating these abominations. Because after all, we're God, right? We can do anything we want. We're tampering in areas that God did not want us to be involved in. And then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can read this in the scriptures too. God visited Lot. Two angels came to Lot to do what? To deliver him, because God was going to destroy these cities and the surrounding cities. What was the problem with these cities? There was such sexual perversion in there, pedophilia. Men having sex with men, homosexuality. Women having sex with women, lesbianism. Men having sex with the dead, necrophilia. Men having sex with animals, and animals having sex with women, bestiality. And any other perversion. And God said, you know, I'm not having this. I'm not having it. And the aggression of the homosexuals, they didn't want Lot's daughters. They wanted to know these men. And today we have such a hostile homosexual community. And you may say, well, I know some people that are not like that. It's not, I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about an agenda that is moving through the land of perversion that the enemies of God's people, Satan and his people, are blinding the minds of God's people in such a way that, well, that's okay. They can do that because God's going to destroy the world. He is going to destroy the world. But we have an obligation before Almighty God to tell them the truth. To tell them the truth. We have an obligation before Almighty God. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of these nations. And what the church has done is successfully in this day and age has sent out flyers and done all this stuff, but it has not rolled up its sleeves and went out and told the truth and done battle with spiritual wickedness and principalities and every evil thing in high places. Well, Pastor, I don't have the Bible education you have. You don't need it. Where you are, God has delivered you from. You can take that and say, this is what I was like. But now, because of Jesus Christ, my life is like this. God wants to transform your life. You have a plan and a purpose, but God has a greater plan and a purpose for you. You don't need to thump them with the Bible. You need to share your life with them. Everybody down deep inside knows they've done wrong. Everybody does. And the people of Jesus Christ, the people that are supposed to have the truth and live in total freedom are being subjugated because they're afraid of what people may say about them. They're afraid of any kind of repercussions. And you know what? The church, we need to carry this battle. The banner is being raised. Will the Church of Jesus Christ rise up and do battle in this day or not? And for streams, and those who have committed themselves to the work, we're suffering this onslaught. Sickness and infirmity. Our cars are breaking down. Jobs are a hassle. It's not by chance that the people of God are suffering under this assault. It's just that the people of God need to wake up and see the realities of what is happening in this day. And it is so true. For every time that you get assaulted, you should be using that as an opportunity to destroy the works of the enemy and steal people out of his kingdom. Virginity and modesty are like old-fashioned standards and are being rejected by our society today. When was the last time you heard of an adulterer going to jail? When was the last time you heard of a person getting locked up for rape? Statutory rape. These are all sexual perversions. Fornication. And it's not just a man and a woman having sex outside of marriage. It could be a man having sex with another man or a woman with a woman. It is sex outside of marriage and outside the norm that God has created for us. That's the truth. That's what fornication is. And we earmark it to those of the opposite sex, but it is not relegated to that. And that's these examples that Jude is trying to get us to understand, that this society that we are living in today is filled with perversion beyond belief. Pornography is being printed out and shown on TV as an open sewer for people to eat and drink from. And you've heard me tell you that pornography is one of the biggest areas. 85% of the pastors are suffering and dealing with pornography in the church. How bad do you think it is in the world? Women are doing their advertising. They are dressing like little hookers, attracting people that they don't want to attract. Why? Because there's no modesty about them any longer. That's old fashioned, Mom. You know, you got to get with the times. And I dealt with this with my daughter. Well, you see, you're going to dress in a way that glorifies your Father in heaven, not be like the world. And we did battle. I mean, it's so easy for guys. Give me a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, I'm good. You know? But girls, let's face it. The way you dress, you're attracting the wrong kind of people. And then when they can't control themselves because they're giving into their lustful perversions, I can't understand why I'm always attracting these type of people to me. You know, they're always the worst kind. Do you think you have something to do with the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself, your attitude about things? And girls, you need to tell your friends. You need to tell them. Well, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to say, I don't care. Do you care about them going to hell? Because they're on this road. And remember, the road is wide. And by the time they get past the gate, it's too late because that gate is going to close on them and there's no escape. There are tremendous amounts of perverts in our society. But let me tell you, there are more of them in hell than you care to realize. And it is our job not to judge them in their perversion, but to help them bring the light of Jesus Christ to them. You are the answer. You got saved because somebody took the time to tell you the truth. And now you have an obligation to your master, Jesus Christ, to do the same thing. My obligation is to tell the truth. And I'm telling you the truth, that this is what Jude is trying to get us to understand in this day and in this society. Virginity has not been thrown out because guys are taking virginity because they pressured girls with a head games. Why do we play head games with hard issues? You don't love me? You would do it if you loved me. No, you need to kick that dude to the curb and then run him over because he's not worth it. If a person truly loves you, they will wait. If you take sex out of the equation immediately, you will find out what that person is all about. Because you know what? A relationship can be established without sex. That's the truth. There are people in the midst here that have said, you know what, we're going to take God at His word. We're going to take that issue off, and I'm going to build godly relationships. Talk to them. You know who they are. Well, I'm struggling. You know what? We all struggle. But don't you understand what you do to yourself when you allow the enemy to lie to you? He makes you like an animal, motivated by instinct. And that's what these people are about. This is what Jude is trying to get us to see. You are far more than animals. You are kings and priests of a holy nation. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. You live in a body, but the true person of who you are is inside of you. And God Almighty dwells in you. Why would you conduct yourself in less than that? Well, I don't feel like a king. I don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with facts. What he says is true. That's the bottom line. And you know who your friends are. You know, You may say, I'm old-fashioned. But I'll tell you what. I was your age one time. And I conducted myself in bad behavior. And even worse behavior. But when Jesus Christ entered into my life, because I saw where I was going and what I was going to lose, I immediately grabbed on to His hem of His garment, and I've been holding on ever since. And He has transformed my life. I didn't think I'd be a pastor, but He's called me to do this. And you know what? Pastors are not these guys that go in and, oh, how you doing, Kev? Oh, glad to see you. Praise God you're out today. Oh, Gomez, I'm so glad to have you out today. And brother, I'm so glad. That's a phony baloney. Pastors tell you the truth. They want to build you up into all that you possibly can be in Jesus Christ. That's our job. Yeah, we're here to help you solve some of your problems. But you guys, you know that I've personally discipled. What do? We go together and we grab the bucket. Right? Then we go and we put your fire out. Then we go back and we put the bucket down. Then the next time that fire kicks up, you say, Pastor, you got to help me. There's the bucket. It's no different than what Jesus did. That's the truth. Oh, you're being so mean to me. No, I'm treating you in a way that should cause you to grow up. You see, your parents have done a miserable job in preparing you. Your Father in heaven holds me accountable for your behavior. And I'm going to hold you accountable for your behavior. I'm going to give you the truth. You don't want to walk in it, that's your choice. Then I just say, Father, deal with them. Deal with them. Our society, because of the perversion that is on TV, because of the perversion in the music, because of the perversion in our literature, because of all this perversion, it incites our evil lust. And we need to understand that anything in the world, anything of the world that has to offer to us is poison to us. I want to change. What kind of music you listen to? Oh man, you know, I listen to Def Leppard, and I listen to this one, and I listen to that. Oh man, you know, I'm into that gangster rap, dude, you know. And you're wondering why you're behaving like the world? Believe me, I've said this and I truly believe it. Not all Christian music is good. And not all secular music is bad. You must discern. I can't tell you what to listen to, but I can tell you what will destroy you, what is keeping you from what it is that you need. And because society eats and drinks from these sewers, the morality of the people is slowly, well actually really quickly now, going into the pot. And the people of God are buying into this lie. And they're falling away from the standards that God has set for us for morality and ethics in such a way that you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. And God's saying, you know what? I need you to come to this standard. Because there's people that are looking at your life that, you know what? If you continue to live like this, you're on the highway too. And I saved you to get you off that highway so that you could go at these rest stops where people are taking a quick fix, you know, whether they're into drugs, alcohol, and stuff. And just tell them, you know what? God loves you. Don't you understand the pain that you're creating? Don't you understand that, you know, this is a treadmill effect of your life, that you will still be on this thing like this little hamster sitting in the wheel? You know, you ever watch those guys? They never get off. They just keep running forever. And that's what Satan's doing to those out in the world. But now the Church of Jesus Christ is rebelling against those standards. And Jude is saying, be careful. Be careful. There's an order to everything that God has set for us. And we need to stay within that order. It's pretty bad when women would rather be with women and men would rather be with men because they don't want to be having an unwanted pregnancy. Let that one sit in there. Men would rather be in homosexual relations and girls would rather be in lesbian relationships because, after all, I don't want to have a kid. How about trying this one? Take it off the board. Alex, no sex for 200. Okay? Take it off the board and just build a relationship, a friendship. That's the key. Believe me, sex, God has ordained sex from the beginning. But He wants it in the way that He wants it done. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And believe me, the foundations of society are breaking. They are busted, and they are not going to be rebuilt. They are not. We are at the end days. Society is disintegrating right before our eyes. Religious fanatics hate America because not because of their political stance, but because of their morality or lack of. We say one thing and we do something else. That's an ethical issue, and God sets a standard. But we don't abide by the ethics because we're too busy trying to figure out ways of taking God out of it. Last night I was talking to a couple ladies and they were talking about, how we can't do certain things with the Christmas tree lighting and stuff, you know, because we don't want to offend the other faiths. I said, well, what's your stance on it? Well, you know, we need separation of church and state. I said, show me in the Constitution. Well, it's in there. I believe it because people are telling me. I said, it's nowhere in that. I said, if you read it in the Federalist Papers, you will see between John Adams and Jefferson, they were talking about their own personal views of how government was. And the stance is, government should make no law in subjecting religion. But religion has everything to do in formulating the morality and ethics of government. And Jefferson, because he was an atheist, didn't believe that we should bring God into the equation. And this is where we're at, folks. 200 years later, the foundations are disintegrating around us. We have to see that society is messed up. It's not an issue that a black or a white issue. It is an issue of morality and the condition of people's hearts. We were born with a fallen nature, and we expect people that are living within this fallen nature to be like us. And so what we do is we compromise our value system to be like them so that they will accept us. I'm not interested in them accepting me. I am not. I don't care if I make a friend with any person out of the world. I really don't care. Why? Because Jesus came. He didn't come with the express purpose of making friends. He came here to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And then He gave us a choice. He gives you a choice. He gave me a choice. You can either be part of the kingdom or part of the punishment that's coming. That's the truth. Jesus didn't come and preach a religion. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to talk about me and you're all going to be called little Christians. He came and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. We all know that. Our job is to tell the people the truth. You have a choice. You can continue on this, but one day in your rebellion, God is going to hold you accountable and you're going to not stay in hell because we all know we're all going to stand there. You've heard me preach the message. We're all going to be in heaven. Are you all going to be there when He's done judgment? That's the question. My heart for you is to consider where you are today. If you're dealing with that spirit of suicide, let's deal with it, get it under the blood, and get it out of there. Start winning souls. If you're not dealing with sin issues that the Holy Spirit says, you know, I want to work in your life and I want to change this, we need to repent and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants. It's for your betterment. It's for your enhancement. And then go win souls. If it's a pride issue, and remember last week I told you, pride will blind us even from the realities that we're in a satanic warfare. We can repent, get that under the blood. Or today, if we're dealing with sexual perversion, sexual immorality, issues of sexual immorality, let's deal with it. Get it under the blood. Because you see, as soon as you deal with it, God doesn't see it anymore. It's done. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the fact. God's people are still wrestling at the cross. Put it to the cross and walk past. Don't pick it up anymore. Be done with it. Jesus took care of everything for us. Now He's saying, grow up. You don't have to stay in kindergarten any longer. Let's go to first grade, second, third, fourth, high school. You know, let's graduate. Because people who are struggling in these issues are on the highway to hell. You are the answer, whether you believe it or not. You have been created for such a divine purpose as this, for a divine time and an appointment that your life can speak volumes to other people. You may not believe it, but you know what? Just step out and see what God will do. Don't worry about it, they'll make fun of you. Don't worry if they ridicule you. Don't worry about any of that nonsense. Because you know what? What you can rejoice is, when I stand there, I'm not going to the lake of fire. When I stand there, my life is sold out for Jesus Christ. When you stand there, I'm saved, sanctified, and I know in whom I believe. The rest is up to them. It's a choice. But for us, we need to be like Joshua. As far as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And the rest of you can decide what you're going to do. The world is doing what comes natural to them. God has taken some of us. You know, some of us were in drugs. Some of us were angry misfits. Some of us were into all kind of perversion. But the bottom line is because of sin. It's just how it manifests in your life and my life. Jesus Christ has changed us, has delivered us from it, and that is not an issue any longer. Now we need to tell them. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for Your word, Lord. I ask, God, that You would open up Your people's hearts to really see what Jude is trying to get us to understand about this end time society, Lord. God, You are the answer to the world. You died for the sins of the world, Lord. It is not old-fashioned to stand up for truth. It is not old-fashioned to stand up for righteousness. What it is being courageous in your belief system. Father, I ask that You forgive us, Lord, as we're getting ready to partake in communion, Lord. I ask that You would examine our hearts today, Lord. That, Father, Holy Spirit, You would convict us. That You would cause us to want to walk in Your ways, Lord. That we would truly live for You every day.